Welcome back to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. The sun's out, patio's open. JB and I golfed yesterday, and the Leafs are up 2-0 against the Florida Panthers.
What a Friday.
In the second round, Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jen Rolnick in.
What's going on over here? Oh, look at the Jasers.
I forgot to change to the Leafs. I'll go do that.
Just leave it.
I like that there's like the public shaming of doing it in real time as the show's on the air.
Do you think he does it on purpose?
Just to get more like walking around airtime?
Just to get more people to, I think, send him a message that don't be dumb. Change the jersey.
I do like that we get the change the jersey. Say, oh, we got it on camera over there at the jersey spot. This is incredible. Wow. You got our cool little pocket in the studio.
Oh, my gosh.
That's so cool.
So as they can see, if you go back to the jerseys, you can see XL, medium, boy small.
Boy small.
Like infants.
It's a pretty cool pocket, though.
Maternity ward.
I just left the jersey on the chair.
Onesies. Have we got a onesie in there?
Probably. This is a good chance.
Probably.
Hot start.
All right. Sammy, you good?
Yeah, I am good.
I'm feeling really good?
I'm really good.
Game day. Toronto Maple Leafs get to try to do something that hasn't happened since, 1948? Back-to-back, 3-0 starts in the Stanley Cup playoffs?
They are not favored to win tonight. I haven't heard a whole lot of people saying, I like the Leafs in Game 3. That hasn't come up yet.
I know we'll get into that in game day, but, like, I don't get that.
Totally agree.
I don't understand how Florida could be favorites if you've truly watched the first two games. And
massive favorites,
Kevin. Okay, if you want to tell me they're a slight favorite, I can live with that. Mm-hmm. Massive, somebody's not watching closely.
I agree. There's a chance you get a Joseph Woll game at any point. There's also the idea, do we know about Florida's health? Is that a healthy team over there? Like, it's, I think Maurice said he's not sure, Sammy, that there's a couple game time decisions. Is that right?
I don't know if I put the clip in because it wasn't exactly the most thrilling. Yeah. But he just said that there's multiple game time decisions heading into tonight.
Okay.
When I think George Richards asked him about the lineup or whatever, and he said So that could be any number of guys. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of people are hypothesizing about Matthew Tkachuk. Hasn't looked like himself through the first two games. Has been injured throughout the year. I think it's a pretty easy one to kind of point to. But I'm pretty sure in the final 2 years ago, he played with a broken sternum, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he's not one to
I mean, he also, you know, cost his team a championship at the Four Nations by being selfish and playing in that game. So we'll see what happens.
Well, wherever you are watching, listening, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus, welcome into our Leaf Edition Hour, The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. The pressure has to be clearly on Florida here. Mm-hmm. Want to hear from Paul Maurice on the pressure?
Very,
we'll start
very
with
much.
With Paul Maurice on where his team is going back home down 2-0.
Yeah, there's just the composure of the situation, whether you're up 2 or down 2 in a game, let alone a series. The game still has to be played and has to be played intelligently and at a high level. So as pressure mounts, whether the team's trying to close out or a team's trying to claw back, you just want to make sure that you're not trying to hit a home run on every time you touch the puck.
It's a good message, I think. Can't win game 3 on the first shift, but you can lose the series or lose the game pretty early in the game and fall behind a few. So
the one thing that I feel is really going in the favor of the Leafs tonight is that we saw a much better Florida Panther team mm-hmm. in game 2, and yet it didn't overly phase the Leafs.
Right.
So I can't imagine a team, this team or Brendan Shanahan's team over the past 9 or 10 years ever feeling as good as they feel right now.
And, you know, I think there's been over the years with this core where they feel like there is a chance to let their foot off the gas at times, that they have been very more than willing to do that in certain mm-hmm. spots. Mm-hmm. So I think tonight is going to be a very interesting test. You know, Scott Laughton talked today. He had a couple things to say, but I didn't cut the clip of him talking about it, but he just said basically, like, we have to be desperate. They're going to be desperate. We have to match their sort of desperation. And it'll be interesting to see. That's easy thing to say, but to go into Florida with the defending champs down 2-0, if they can truly match the desperation of the Florida Panthers tonight, because it's going to be a madhouse there.
Okay, let's go to Craig Berube on what he expects to see out of the defending Stanley Cup champions. Yep.
Well, I mean, a lot of the same that we've seen already. I think, you know, we know how they play and the way they want to play. I don't think they're going to change a whole lot. I mean, it's going to be, they're at home, so it's a little different animal, but expect a lot of the same.
Your team is...
One thing we have in this, in our sheet here, our lineup from Sammy, is that Florida is looking to become the seventh straight team. Is that right?
No, the seventh straight win.
Seventh straight win from a defending champion that's two down 2-0 in the playoffs the next year. So anytime the defending Stanley Cup champion has gone down 2-0, they've won 6 times in game 3 in a row. So it just goes to show, teams that are experienced, that have talent, that have been through it all, don't just go down 2-0 and go, well, I guess we're cooked.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get a legitimate push. And Berube knows that, and everyone's, I think, relatively prepared for it. One thing I feel good about with the Leafs' chances is if they're keeping it close, again, it's a win. This is a win for them if they're able to hang around and just kind of be in the game late. They have the best winning percentage in one-goal games in the NHL regular season and playoffs, an .800 winning percentage in games where, in one-goal games.
So, yeah, you just can't, you know, when you go into these playoff series, these first couple, you know, the first one at home in every series for the team, you have to say weather the storm, that's always like the saying. Mm-hmm. And remember what happened in game 3 in Ottawa, the Leafs really got caved in, but they didn't let any really high danger chances and whatever, and they built into that game. This is not the Ottawa Senators we're talking about, clearly, but they're going to have the same sort of game plan. Like, I think there's a world where the first 10 minutes tonight is not pretty for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And they're going to need a couple big saves out of Joseph Woll. They're going to need their decor to really just, you know, hold their gaps, be themselves. But if you can survive that initial push, not being down 2-0, keeping it close, you're in this game. You've been in the games. You've played well against them. I don't think the fear factor is going to be there like it has been in years past.
I think the first two games alleviated so much of a fear factor,
correct,
including this persona that this is a very big, mean team.
Right.
And it's kind of, I'm not saying it's gone, but it's gone down a couple of notches here. Mm-hmm. And Sam Bennett bumps Stolarz, which got a ton of attention, but there was no carryover. There was no Sam Bennett fear in game 2. There was nothing out of Tkachuk. And once you get past those two guys, I'm not sure, like, where else you would feel like this team's going to steamroll or run over, mm-hmm, anybody, including now the Leafs.
Yeah. Well, let's listen. We have Paul Maurice talking about Tkachuk and Bennett.
Just on that point about Bennett, he took one hit in game 2.
He threw a hit?
No, took one.
Oh.
So it's like, not only did they...
They didn't chase him around.
They didn't do anything to him.
Yeah.
They listened to their coach, and they were disciplined with him. So go ahead there, Barney.
We're just calling for clip 5. Paul Maurice, clip 5 on Tkachuk and Bennett.
Paul, what are you seeing from that Tkachuk-Bennett combination? Is there anything in particular that they can do to elevate to get the offense flowing?
I'm really not particularly concerned about our offense. Sam Bennett going into the series was our leading goal scorer. We went out on the road, scored 4 and scored 3. We would expect to win both those games on those numbers based on the way that we play the game. Offense is not where our focus needs to be.
Yeah, I'm not sure I just agree with that.
Yeah.
Especially with Reinhart, one of the best goal scorers the last few years, and he has not been a factor in this thing. Verhaeghe hasn't. And I know I'm sounding like a broken record, but the Matthews Marner Nyes line has outscored the Barkov, Verhaeghe, Bennett line, if I'm not mistaken, 4-1, which the one Barkov goal was a power play. Mm-hmm. So you know, I know there's people that want to still squeeze more out of Matthews and Marner. And of course, you know, when you look at the big picture, yeah, the numbers aren't as well as they'd like, but Marner assists on Nyes' game-winning goal and then scores a game-winning goal in game two. I mean, they're doing a pretty good job here, although it's not pretty to to say how great they are defensively, shutting down that line.
Yeah, I think it's at even strength, it's 3-0, I think, the 3-0. Last I saw. Yeah, 4-1 overall, it makes sense. So that's, you know, they're winning their matchup. If every line wins their matchup, you stand up and applaud.
Which leaves what's behind them. And that's where, again, Pacioretty, Domi, right? And, of course, Willie's sprinkled in there for sure. But, like, Lawton, they're winning this series for the Leafs.
It does feel like, you know, if it all goes right for the Leafs, there's a Lawton goal in here. He's been involved. He's made people miss. He's in Marchand's grill. Like, and Lorenz too. Like, there's moments to come here. You're going to get another minimum 4 games out of this Toronto Maple Leafs team. So it's really exciting. You know what's crazy, Kip, is we'll end this hour today, and when we show back up on Monday for the next show, the series could be over. It could be 2-2. It could be over. But either way, there's a lot to come here in this upcoming weekend. And people are excited, man. Everyone I run into has changed their tone from, they don't have it, to, hey, do they have it? Even the skeptics.
I was telling you, boys, this is what Kipper was talking about with the training wheels, and you got mad at me yesterday. I talked to a lot of people. The guardrails are being lowered here. The bumper bowl is starting to graduate to regular bowl.
There's gutters.
The gutters are around. I'm telling you, like,
they're gone, because if you lose now, you're in the gutter.
You're in the gutter.
Yeah.
But, like, I do think that there is some real belief in this city, which is pretty concerning.
It's nice and it's deserved. Yeah. And you know what else has been fun is they've led in games, so the games haven't been as dread-filled as maybe some previous years.
Absolutely.
All right, let's get Craig Berube's thoughts on the Tanev effect as well, because this whole thing has, right from the get-go, been built from the net on out.
Well, it's huge. I think, you know, our team has really fed off that side of what he brings to the table night in and night out throughout the year with, you know, all our D have done a really good job of blocking shots and being strong at the net front. So, and he's definitely a guy we brought in here that has made a living out of that. And it's really rubbed off on our team, in my opinion. Highly important.
Oh, I don't think we talked about it in Leafs Talk. We didn't talk about it on this show the next day. When he got hurt, whatever happened to him last game, like, their season flashed before my eyes.
Yeah, I believe I texted maybe just you, Borning, like, or maybe the group chat, anyone else.
Like, literally, be the goalie, be Matthews, Marner, just don't be Chris Tanev.
Chris Tanev's importance to this team, and listen, that was a weird hit, and it was one that, like, who was it that got him early in the year that knocked him out for a little while, where he got twisted up against the boards and his arm came off hanging? It looked like a very similar play where he got twisted up and... Yeah, that was... Yeah,
every time he crunches in the boards, I cringe for the shoulder separation.
Like, what's happening in there?
Yeah.
Like, it's probably not pretty.
No, like, I'm sure a doctor puts him through an imaging machine and goes, dude,
enough. Jason Smith's like, whoa, brother, like, you need to relax.
Yeah, stop doing that.
The biggest change for me on that blue line, and we can go back on conversations that they don't have a bona fide number one and... blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But today, it looks like they've got, like, at worst, 3 number twos.
Yeah.
3 number twos. Like, Simone Benoit right now, to me, could fit in on a top 4 on a lot of teams.
Yeah. I bet if you offered a lot of teams, you can swap this guy in for one of your guys.
Most Benoit, teams would say, yeah. Ekman-Larsson are the best third pair right now.
In the playoffs. Yeah.
Bar none.
And I mean, you know, we made a joke. So Sheldon Keefe was let go a year ago today. Is that right, Sammy?
A year ago today, Sheldon Keefe was fired.
Yeah.
We're having a very different show 1 year ago today, my friends.
Very different show. And Sammy said, like, I can't, like, I love that we're doing a show or something today. And I just said, with all due respect, you know, to Sheldon, I bet if you subbed in Carlo and Tanev for, do you remember what the third pair was last year?
The lily pad.
Lily pad.
Was it lily pad? What did he play? I can't remember.
I don't know.
Might have been out. He might have been scratched.
Edmondson was involved. A lot of Labushkin involved.
TJ Brody.
Yeah. TJ Brody got scratched too. So who the hell played?
I don't.
I got to go back.
Connor Timmins. I don't know.
But this is what I was saying is like, you know, those D are the difference to me. Yes, the coach has done great and all that, but like the Leafs D is just better. Flat out better.
And it just constantly looks steady and the same. Like, there's no dips. I know sometimes they can spend some time in their own zone, but a lot of times they sort it out.
Yeah. And I do think that that realization is what's freed up Morgan Rielly to go a little bit more. He just knows that go-go gadget Carlo back there has got the long reach and he can disrupt plays.
So in that game, the leading ice time for defenseman last year, game 7,
Morgan,
Jake McCabe, Simone Benoit played 2028 in that game.
Third most is Benoit.
Labushkin, 1938, Joel Edmondson, 1751, Timothy Liljegren, 1507.
There you go.
So you swap out Liljegren, Labushkin, and Edmondson for Carlo, Tanev, and Oliver Larson.
Yeah.
Yeah, no wonder the yeah. Oh, real brain buster here. Like,
hey, standing O for tree living on the overhaul of the decor. That's the biggest change.
Yeah, absolutely. Marchand stuff.
So really good last game. Had two assists in the first game.
Yeah.
It was the first time he's ever played the Leafs in the playoffs and had 2 points and lost, and the first time he's ever scored against the Leafs in playoffs and lost.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I know that hurts.
But he's looking to go 5-0 against the Leafs in the playoffs in his career. So, I mean, he's had a lot of success against the Leafs.
A lot of success. So why don't we listen to Craig Berube?
The Craig Berube one's really funny. So let's listen to that one.
Marchand chirping.
Yeah.
Craig, picking up on that, obviously Marchand's a guy who likes to talk on the ice. Lawton was just telling us he likes that too. Mm-hmm. Do you mind that, or would you prefer him to stay away from engaging with Marchand, like verbally in between stuff?
I don't really care. Like, it's just talk.
He's really exposing how basic this all is.
I don't
We're
really
picking it apart with scalpels, and he's like, "What do we?"
I don't really care.
Yeah.
The only thing left is for Berube just to whoever asked that question say,
Masters.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Just call the game.
But it's all good. Like,
hey,
it's all good.
You
baby.
Don't know the game well enough to go that deep right now on whether it's good or bad or indifferent. Just leave them alone. Let them do whatever they want to do.
Just leave them alone.
There you go.
That's it. Just leave them alone. Don't worry about it, buddy.
Yeah. How do you feel about the chirping? I don't care. What do you do with Willie? I just leave him alone. Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Where did we get a stone
they're
cold
pros.
Ruby drop?
Yeah, they're pros. They're pros. Don't worry about
they're grown
it.
Grown adults.
Yeah.
But I mean, on the 1 year anniversary of Sheldon Keefe being fired, it really is the exact opposite approach.
For sure it is.
It really is. And I guess that's what you do after a while. You try one approach and then you go for the opposite or whatever. Like, that's not, try not to crap on Keith, but it's totally different.
This is where Craig, and listen, I played with a lot of guys, been around a lot of guys early in my career that have gone and done other things, either in management, coaching, all of it. You do see this evolution of development from them to go from that stage of their lives to, and the tendency is to try to look the part, sound the part, come across like you've got the secret sauce or you know what's right and wrong and perfect about the game. That's not Berube, right? Most often it's ego too, right?
Yeah, well said.
And this guy's got no ego. He's literally telling you you're making too big of a deal out of something that won't really matter when the chips are down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's simple.
Just talk.
He's not telling you that that's going to make or break the series or that's an integral part or we're working on something and I don't like it or I like it. He's just, He's like, you can be around the game for 100 years. I don't know. I don't know if it's good or bad, and it's just it is what it is, and that's what they do, and let's go out and play.
This is something, though, that I've kind of learned being around people who have accomplished a lot and are genuinely confident with themselves, whether it's yourself or my father-in-law, Clark Gillies, or, you know, had the privilege to play with Bieksa the other day, or Craig Berube. These guys don't need to prove to you how smart they are. They're okay to say, I don't know. They don't know to tell. They don't need to show. Yeah, like, it's okay. It's a show of confidence to me to just be like, not sure, you know? I don't know.
Who cares?
Yeah, we don't have all the answers. Yeah. We're just doing the best we can.
But if by chance Mike Babcock was still around, he probably could get 20 minutes out of that question to him.
I think that's a very valid observation.
Right?
Very fair.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree.
And it's like, Craig's like, no. No. Next question, please.
So the reason he asked that question is because they talked to Lawton about it. And Lawton gave this answer on Chirping with Marshawn. Lawton, clip one, please.
Yeah, we've gone at it quite a bit throughout my career. So, yeah, it's nice. I think it gets your, for myself, gets you into the game a little bit. And it's good.
Is he mowing the lawn during that interview?
Yeah, the skate sharpener's like, they're doing their interviews? The interview time.
Yeah. Weed whacker.
But it is true. Some guys really can engage in that sort of stuff, and it makes you more aware of your game or attention to detail, and it works. And we've all played with two or three of those guys where it's like they don't feel right unless they are chirping or engaged in like a meaningful kind of who gets the last word in.
Yeah. It is fun. I played with Michael Haley. I don't remember him. He had a cup of coffee. Yeah. He was like
an Islander, right?
Yeah. And he was like
left
that.
Left wing, left shot.
Yeah, and tough.
And tough.
Give me a break. There's no way he shot that. That's amazing.
But yeah, one of those guys that just like, you know, was able to do better when he get in it.
I think just kind of a quick Lawton thought, get your guys' take on it. Now, the further we've gotten away from the trade deadline, and what was given up to get him has been obviously really good for him. And I've got to tell you, outside game one against Florida, I think I've really loved him. And I think he's been great on the kill, laying his body on the line, not afraid to be physical, all that stuff. Just, you know, pasting Evan Rodriguez, getting him to flop in that play there. I think he's been a really crucial bottom six guy for this team and kind of exactly as advertised.
Yeah. You know,
I'd like
funny?
Him to shoot it in once or twice, but I really liked him.
What's really been surprising to me is he's not slow. Because the first five games with the Leafs, I was like, oh no, like he can't get around. But he was just hesitating. And now that he's not and he's playing more free, he gets around nice. He makes a couple of moves in the blue on entries that I like.
It's a good line that he's playing
like
on.
Like watching him play hockey.
Yeah, yeah.
23 minutes into our show already, no mention of Joseph Woll starting in game three. It's a major storyline that Stolarz did make the trip down to Florida.
Didn't go.
Matt Murray's down there. Mm-hmm. No real worry here with Joseph Woll going in. You mentioned Bobrovsky. Listen, if goalie Bob does not step up, this series is over.
Bob's had some stinkers. I know he got his cup and whatever, but he's had some playoff stinkers over the years, and they need him. And we saw Maurice, I don't want to say call him out, but at least openly observe that they need more from him.
All right, let's go to Paul Maurice on his ability to bounce back, goalie Bob.
He's just trained for it his whole life, right? He's not an emotional player. He's not... I don't think he can play as long as he did. If you ride that roller coaster up and down, he's even keel. He's got a routine that he has faith in, and he'll just stick with it because he's had games. And in the playoffs last year, it was almost pretty consistent. He'd have a game he didn't like. I thought his game two was very, very good. He made all the saves, didn't see the one. It's a knuckler. Like, there's no pre-scout for that, so it just goes in. So I really liked his game, and that's the trend for him. He's found a way to come back and be really solid. He just has a foundation, and he doesn't come off his foundation. So the end result, whether he had a shutout in the first series and was the dominant player on the ice in my mind in that game, because they were pushing real hard.
Yeah, Yeah, that's a very coachly thing to start
pumping him
up. Build up the confidence a little bit on game day. You worried about Wall at all?
But, you know, where I stand, I wanted him to come in earlier.
You wanted just, game one of the first half.
I just wanted him to come in and bring in some fresh energy. Mm-hmm. Not that it was absolutely like a cry for it, but it was just based on what I saw out of Stolarz. So I thought he was capable of doing exactly what we saw in game two.
Yeah.
And I think he's got a chance to even feel more comfortable on the road.
Yes.
I like him. I like him on the road. I've seen him steal games before on the road single-handedly, and he's got that type of game in him that if it's to your point, Sammy, where you got to weather the storm in the first 10 or 12 minutes, this guy will be the reason why.
Playoff career for Joseph Woll in relief. He's got a 863 save percentage, and in starts, he's got a 939 save percentage. These are small samples. He's only started five games in relief for two or three, but you know, he's done well when he's been able to prepare for the game. You're going into Florida. You know what you're in for. Feel pretty good about it.
Go ahead.
Just on the Bobrovsky thing, and it's kind of more of a greater point about the Florida Panthers. And listen, this could be a look dumb after tonight. Is there a conversation about the amount of hockey they've played in the past few years?
You know, you had a clip yesterday that we never played. I don't know if Derek's able to find it, but it was Paul Maurice.
Let me see. Talk, give me 1 second.
Yeah, talking about last year and asking about being tired. Maybe it was Ekblad. No, it was Maurice, right? Where they basically said, is there something to the idea that you guys are tired? And I think he said,
He's got it.
Derek's got it. Yes, you guys are pros.
Might be some people look at an 0-2 hole and say, well, a lot of hockey the last 2 years, but you had a break for the playoffs, had a break between rounds. Yeah, well, I don't.
We haven't used that. I don't know. Today was seventh game in about 3 weeks. Like, it's half the schedule that we like to have. It's half the schedule that we're used to playing coming into the playoffs. So that's not an issue for us.
So Maurice says it's seven games in 3 weeks, says Maurice.
I don't know what I had for breakfast today.
I don't remember.
It's half the schedule that we're used to playing coming into the playoffs. So not an issue for us.
I don't like the question. I don't buy it, really, to be honest with you. And I know it's rare that today's teams mm-hmm. go three consecutive Stanley Cup finals.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I know it's rare. It's rare to win consecutive. It's rare to do that. But when it was done in the 70s or 80s, and I'll go to your dad's teams.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like they've won four in a row.
Four in a row is
so. So
and they went
so,
to the final of the
season. So while they're halfway through it, did anybody go up to them on a loss and go, you know, those first two, like, go back to your dad and anyone on the Montreal Canadiens in the 70s or your 80s or even the Oilers and go ask them after the first six games in the middle of this, you know, stretch. Are you guys tired? You're feeling it a little bit.
Well, I kind of just asked.
They would look at you like you got like three heads.
Yeah. So does it matter if we're tired?
I am tired.
I'm a trained athlete. Yeah. This is what I do for a living. This is what we live for. This is the height. We're trying to do something historic here. Don't ask me if I'm tired.
Here's Aaron Ekblad on the same question. We recuperate in weeks, not years, right? He says, so recovery happens day to day. I don't think that's going to go into the Stanley Cup final. Puts you in a hole whatsoever. We still had two full months of rest. That's not a notion we buy into. We stay in good shape. It's not an issue. He's
very rested. He's in awesome. Yeah. You might even say he's in the best shape of his life reason. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
The motivation for them to go to another Stanley Cup final and start separating yourself from being just another team that won to one that you're going to maybe remember a lot more. Mm-hmm. Like, how is that curtailing your energy?
Yeah.
So to answer my question, Kipper, you don't think it's a problem?
We really went in on that, didn't
we? No.
You don't think it's a problem?
I think the Leafs' forecheck's a problem. I think the Leafs' blue line is a problem for them, and maybe Wall might be a problem for them tonight.
Quick thing on the Leafs,
not the amount of games that they've played.
Yeah, the Leafs' D have been on 9 straight goals for the Leafs. If they were in on the next one, it would be a franchise playoff record.
That's crazy. What a flip from the regular season where they didn't get anything.
Nothing.
What was the Berube clip on resting?
Well, just
on his team?
Basically, he got asked, yo, play the clip, and we can talk about it after. But it's clip 5, Berube.
Craig, the way you guys play obviously demands a lot of the players, the shot blocking, the physical play. What do you tell them to do between games? Like, how do you instruct them to gear up so that they keep being able to do it?
Yeah, I mean, rest is important. We know that. I think, you know, the day in between the games is a time to get away from it a little bit and rest. I don't think you need to wrap your head around the game on the day off. I think it's good to get away and get emotionally ready again, physically, you know, on the mental side of it too. So, you know, we try to stress of just good job tonight. It's over with. Get away from it for a day and rest up because, you know, we're back at it again and we need it tonight.
Can you rest between, like, were you able to shut it off between games like that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Okay. You go to a movie, you go, yeah, you hang out, you, cool. Yeah, you do stuff that can completely take you away for 10, 12 hours of nothing, think about it. But I will also say this, that this time of year, your training staff is absolutely paramount. Mm. Physio, treatment, stretching, all of it. Like those, there's 5 or 6 of these athletic trainers there that are behind the scenes right now working with the guys individually, you know, acupuncture. You do whatever you need to do to keep the body going and limber, and it's... People would love it on a daily basis, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
You'd feel a lot better if you had what these guys had at their disposal.
Post-game, that like hour post-game, it's actually pretty remarkable to see the work guys do after a game, right? Riding bikes and stretching and the amount of work that goes into feeling.
Flushing the lactic acid out.
Yeah.
So you're telling me they don't have 2 tall cans of Coors Light and a hot shower and like yell at each other for an hour after?
They do. Oh, okay. They still do.
Home, yeah.
But it's all the rest of it we're talking about.
Okay. That's how I recover after a grueling game.
All right, Sammy.
Do you want to go to break and we'll come back to the Leafs line?
Leafs line.
Yeah, it's a fun one today.
We got some calls for us.
Few gems today, bud.
How many will tell me that the show should be called The Real Sammy and Bourne Show?
Okay.
Chuck Nelson here.
There was at least 3 that mentioned it, and none made it in.
It's the Sam McKee Hour up next.
That must have been torture for you to leave them out.
You're right. I shouldn't put them in. And it was the
no, no.
I completely forgot.
We like them now.
No, we like them.
We like them because it just.
Listen, you're right. It's not the way to ask.
Right? No. Sammy.
Sam has no ego. None of us believe that. We're just teasing.
All right, Sammy's Leaf Line. When we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Covering the Blue Jays from an analytical perspective. Jays Talk Plus with Blake Murphy. Be sure to subscribe and download Jays Talk on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to our Leaf Hour edition of our program. Nick Kipper, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, and now Sammy.
Hold on.
We get to hear
before we hear from our beloved listeners,
Leaf Nation.
Before we hear from them, some breaking news from the my favorite. It's not that breaking. 17 minutes ago from Scouting the Refs, my favorite website. Wes McCauley is reffing the game tonight.
Yeah, but Sheldon's no longer here, so it's a non-issue.
Oh, it's less of an issue.
The cuts are way too deep. I'm going to tell you right now, get ready for some ref blaming tonight. Leaf fans hate this guy. He is in their crosshairs.
Buddy,
I'm telling you.
Between the embellishment call and maybe a missed tripping call
in overtime
Vegas,
last night?
In Vegas.
It might have been a penalty.
It is very Canadian friendly right now.
Yeah, for sure. And they had to bring in a guy to change that. let's go to the Leafs line. The Leafs line is brought to you by Muskoka Bay Resort, a top 10 ranked Canadian course, part of the Freed Golf Network, fellas. All right, let's start.
Thank you to them.
Let's start with Luke in Canmore.
You may remember I called a few months back about everyone ragging on Morgan Riley, saying after they all said that they would never rag on him again because he's always good in the playoffs. And I don't know. I think he's been pretty good in the playoffs so far. So I don't mean to say a toe-to-self, but I might have a toe-to-self. So, yeah, I just want to hear what you boys think of him. And, yeah, maybe this will be the final time there will ever be Morgan Riley slander. Mm. So, yeah, anyways, boys, love the show. Go Leafs, go.
A toe-to-sell is my favorite Rickyism from Trailer Park Boys. Toe-to-sell.
It's a high-end Rickyism. That there are many.
There's a million, yeah.
One man's garbage is another man's ungarbage is very good.
A lot of them are safe for radio.
Where do you want to start on Morgan?
I'm going to say that it's really nice to not get a call that suggests Morgan Riley should be a forward. That's how you know Riley's playing well, when they're not suggesting he play forward. Yeah. I think we mentioned the first half hour that the D has made him feel more comfortable defensively, allowing him to jump.
A deeper blue line that kind of insulates him a little bit better than past years. Everyone talked about Carlo coming in and what it would do for him, and it's come to fruition because he is a lot better, a lot more comfortable. Scored a big goal in this series already.
3 points already in this series?
Although, right? You know, one that Bobrovsky, that's one of those goals where you're like, that just can't go in when you see it, and you need a big save. It's a good shot. It's a good shot, but
you ripped it,
That's usually one of those where
you
want. Yes, exactly. Like, you know, like we said before, sometimes, and Paul Maurice said it, you know, the seeing eye ones that find a way to get to the net through traffic, through bodies. But Morgan's been great, but that whole blue line, like I said, there's no drop-off between 1 and 6.
It's also nice that I don't watch him on the power play and go, move it, move it, move it, and just freak out.
Pass, shoot, no, shoot. Yeah. Shoot when he should pass.
You know, the other thing, too, is there's times when I haven't liked it when they've slowed things down. And Morgan, for the longest time, I'm like, he needs to play faster. He needs to look like he's quicker and faster.
Because he can skate.
And now it's getting to the point where they've got that perfect temperament where they, if they do slow it down, they're still finding the right guy. It's not necessarily the 80-foot pass across the ice anymore. They're finding shorter ways to break the puck out, and it's helped Morgan, no question.
It has.
So there you go. I think he's been good. And he was +3 in the first, I think he's +4 through the first two games of this series. So that's a far cry from what we saw in the regular season. Let's go to John in Milton, please, Derek. John in Milton. Okay.
John's very quiet.
John,
what happened to John?
I don't know. Let's play John Doe from Parts Unknown.
Perhaps
the question is that, you know, I've been a long-time Leaf fan now for, you know, since I was knee-high. Anyways, getting back to it, the question is, you know, about the goaltender situation and hitting on the goaltenders. I'm just wondering why, you know, Aaron Ekblad didn't get a penalty call for running wild in the last game when he came back from his already previous suspension. You know, with all the looks of, you know, goaltender interference, especially after what happened with Stolarz. You know, I'm just curious on why, you know, he wouldn't have at least got a goaltender interference penalty. And he looked like he ran him pretty good. But anyways, keep up the good work, boys. And, yeah, you know, the refereeing kind of needs to change a little bit, I guess.
Well, it is, because Wes McCullough's playing tonight. So.
John does have a point here.
Rotten play.
For sure. Yeah, I don't know. Was he kind of reaching
there, right?
For a puck?
Is he able to claim that he's making a play?
Volleyball?
As he drives recklessly into the crease?
Yeah.
This is what drives you crazy about the Florida Panthers, is because they are good, but they do resort to this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's what good teams do, but it's crazy, man.
Now, I feel like because they won the cup, people got this like image of the Panthers as this supremely talented offensive team or something like that. Like they greased out a 2-1 game 7 win over the Oilers, right? They fought and clawed for every inch. There weren't many series where people were like, Florida is a way better team. They just earned a Stanley Cup last year. And so this team has to do that. Like they have to have some other element. Yeah. They're not just going to outscore the Leafs.
I think too, there's just a certain level of acceptance from the NHL that there's going to be bumps. There's going to be some traffic.
Absolutely.
And you know, we're okay with it. And if we need to take a look at it, when a puck goes in the net, we will, and we're not scared to disallow a goal. But if it's play on, it's play on.
A lot of play on right now.
Yeah.
And that's the way they want to portray their hockey. Some people like it. Some people don't. Well, but it is the way they want their NHL.
Yeah, but two elbows to the two goalies' heads within two games.
The elbow in the head, though?
Tried.
Yeah.
Didn't succeed.
Bennett
succeeded.
Yeah, you don't get suspended for
trying.
No,
I'm not saying you should get suspended here. I'm just saying they're greasy and they're trying to hurt the goalies.
Yeah. The one thing I also push back on with people is they say the standard changes for, you know, what's a penalty. I disagree. I think the standard's kind of the same. There's just so much more of it. Everyone's so much more physical. One thing we haven't talked about on this show, and I don't have the stats on me right now to back it up, but Mitch Marner has thrown so many hits in playoffs. I want to say
he was game one, he had five.
He had three last game, and it was the same in round one.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how many. I know you don't want him to be that guy.
But
my point is everyone is stepping up their physical play.
To your point, because it's not egregious, it's not noticeable, he gets no credit for it.
Yeah, well, they're not bruising hits.
My
point is that everyone is doing more of that. So you can't call penalties every time you turn around. The refs are just trying to let them play hockey.
Let's go to John and Milton now.
The loss transpired this week from the Sam Bennett Stolarz incident, Paul Maurice's comments, and the media bombardment. My questions, based on my observations, are, do you think the media has played their part in getting under the skin of the Panthers players and coach Paul Maurice? And B, based on years past, the Toronto media can pile onto the Leafs and make matters worse, especially in the playoffs. Do you see a world where the media can in any way help this team get over the hump? Go Leafs, go boys. Thanks for taking the question. Cheers.
Well, first off, it's not the media's job to do that. That's not.
But some of them do it anyways.
They do it, but that's not the role of the media.
I do think, and I don't know really how to say this without getting... I do think that there's a lot of people that have, ourselves included at times, dined out on the Leafs failing. And that there's a lot of people that don't know how to cover this era of Leafs hockey with them potentially succeeding. And that, like, defaulting to ghosts, which I do, defaulting to the negative is there. And listen, I can be as negative as the next person, but I genuinely want them to succeed probably more than a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Majority of them are deep down fans. I don't know if I agree. If it bleeds, it leads, bud. And I think a lot of people kind of want the failure.
There's also a selfish part that, like, if they do well, I do well.
Sure. Sure. I mean, that's for us. We would love to go. I would love them to go deep because it's the thing outside my family and friends I care the most about. So I would like to go them far, but it's great for the show. It's great for business.
It's great for business.
But the way it's covered, you agree that like a lot of people.
But dumping on them is great for business
too.
For
sure.
Well,
for sure.
I think it's easier to talk about a failing because you can point to this, you can point to that. When they're doing well, it's tough to sit here and go, they should just keep doing that.
It's a fundamental sports thing.
But hold on. The one thing I think is relevant here is we played the clip from Patrick Alvin today talking about Petey and JT, and he's at a season ticket holder meeting or whatever. And he's talking about how that was always there for them, but they were winning in the past. And so when you're winning, a lot of stuff is a lot easier to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if you're a team that's playing the Leafs and it's going badly, a lot of the media pressure feels worse. you can handle the media when you're winning, when it's going good. Yeah. But right now they're in their locker room going, boy, you can't get to the Leafs. What's going on? I think it would really start to wear off.
This is the most powerful media market in the world
by
for
volume.
Hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
No problem. And
when there's a suspension, particularly south of the border, the league does not react in a way where you need to react, unfortunately for them, in a Toronto market,
yeah.
Right?
Which
a different beast.
Leaf fans insane.
It's a different beast. And they can play a part. I don't know specifically, like, you know, we don't have time to really get into it, but there's a swale, right? Every time there's a big storyline, and it can move the needle.
Yeah.
And the players feel it, management feels it, officials feel it, league office feels it, and, you know, it's just the way it is in this market.
It's just death by a thousand cuts, and when the Leafs are under pressure, it makes it harder. Yeah. And I also think when you're up, it puts a lot on Maurice answering all these questions today. He's usually having a great time with the Toronto media. It doesn't sound very fun as of today.
But they've got them on their side right now.
Let's go to Pam from the Sioux.
Hey, Kip, JB, and Sammy McKee. It's Pam from Sault Ste. Marie. That's right, Paul Maurice's hometown. But we don't want him bringing the cup here. Huge family bloodline of Leafs fans. My husband even got me out of a vulnerable moment after I had my second son and still under the effects of anesthesia, and he is now has the middle name of Gilmore.
That's
right, after Dougie Gilmore. Sammy, I feel your anxiety watching the Leafs games because I'm exactly the same way. I literally have to go in a different room and plug my ears at some point to the game.
It's like my mom.
But Coach Berube has this team dialed in right now, and it's so nice to see. Right now, I feel like Jim Carrey from Dumb and Dumber with the tagline, "So you're telling me there might be a chance." My husband started to watch the show daily, and now I'm hooked on it. And honestly, I think it might have been a bromance between him and Sammy. But I'm cool with that. Kipper, I'm with you. Not ready to take the training wheels off yet.
Okay.
JB, keep being the mediator and keep those boys grounded. And don't let Kipper bully our Sammy. Anyways, you guys do an amazing job. Love watching your show. Go Leafs, go.
Pam,
thank you, Pam.
Pam,
that's
awesome stuff. But
message.
Pam's a parent, and I'm a parent on this show with Sammy, too.
Yeah.
Okay, we have time for one more quick one. Jane Doe from Parts Unknown.
Diehard Leafs fan here. Absolutely love your show. I predict Leafs will win in five. How do I know this? It's because of my sacrifice, my lucky chair. Months ago, I purchased a secondhand chair because I liked the aesthetics of it, only to bring it home and find out it is the most incredibly uncomfortable piece of furniture in the world. The last game the Leafs played the Sens, I sat in it. They won. So now I'm thinking, this is the lucky Leafs chair. So I've been sitting in it over and over, and they've been winning. Sitting in it may sound like an easy task, but with my neuropathic pain, it is quite challenging. The springs poke me in strange places I don't even want to talk about. And I'm pretty sure it's urine I smell, and it is not mine. But it has now been branded as Leafs Lucky. I'll take one for the team if it helps. There's always more physiotherapy. What a fan won't go through for their team to win. Go, Leafs, go. Easy on the darts, Sammy.
Don't hurt yourself.
No,
for
do
the
it.
Leafs.
But, no, Jane Doe, do it.
It is amazing, all the millions of fans out there, and they think that their actions.
Right.
Kipper, they don't think. They do.
They really believe that they somehow can affect the outcome.
All of their energies together are the harmony is what's helping this team across the line.
Oh, you can't, is it?
It can't be a disturbance to the force.
All right, boys. The Leafs Line was brought to you by Muskoka Bay Resort, a top 10 ranked Canadian course, part of the Free Golf Network. And a reminder to golf fans out there, Sportsnet and Muskoka Bay Resort have come together with an amazing contest. Text Muskoka to 59590 for your chance to golf at one of Canada's top 10 ranked courses with a night in an incredible three-bedroom villa for you and your friends.
All right.
Just text the word Muskoka to 59590 for your chance to win. Visit sportsnet.ca/590contest for more details. Standard message and data rates apply.
We good?
Yes, sir.
Nice job, Sammy, nice on the luck. Leaf Line. We're still just warming up here on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show as we go national on Off the Rails Friday. with the one, the only, Doug McClain. Stick around. More to come.